Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Greetings, comrades, and welcome to this very special episode of The Eastern Border. But today is the second anniversary since the death of my grandmother, from my father's side. So I will just, you know, be retelling the stories what she told me, and my other grandma, from my mom's side too. She had way less, because I knew her for way less. She died when I was about 18. I think it's kind of important, because after all, after everything that I do here, this is still a people's history of the Soviet Union. And I just want some studies not to get lost in the meantime. I want some studies to live and prosper and just to be told so that the real history, the one that people actually live, gets out there. So this time, you're going to have a studies from a Soviet surgeon. Well, not exactly. See, my grandmother, Miriam Andreson, she wanted to be a surgeon all the time. But as her dad was a Lutheran pastor, you've heard of him in all of my previous episodes, she managed to get into university only because of her extremely high grades in high school. She could have gotten a gold medal, but you know, back then we had a system of reviewing what's been done and evaluating of since from 1 to 5, and where 5 was the best grade, and she had 5s everywhere. Except Marxist ideology, because for obvious reasons, because she comes from the family part, which almost was exiled and stuff like that. So yeah, she was a surgeon, she was a tough person, and she never even knew or understood what this podcast was all about. She never, knew about how many listeners do I have or anything like that. She just knew that I'm doing something useful and someone listens to it, and she was extremely surprised that people actually do care. That people are interested into this stuff. So today's episode is going to be about her. See, she was born in the 1920s. And that was a kind of tumultuous time all in itself, with just people coming back from the independence war that we had. We looked at it in the Lenin episodes. And then the 30s came when she grew up. And then, you know, The World War II happened on the very final years of her high school. And then, as I looked at her, papers from everything, you know, I have some from their church and stuff, but I looked at the photographs there, and she used to tell me that, hey, you know, when I look at the picture of my classmates, you can see a bunch of them, you know, just being sent out by Stalin to gulags to die. That's a sad story for, you know, for a 12-year-old kid to be told when your grandmother is showing you the pictures of her youth, and the pictures contain this classmate died in the gulag, this classmate died in the gulag, this one died in Salaspils concentration camp, he was killed by Nazis, the next to him, he also died in a gulag. The times were like that. The times were dreadful and evil. So people kind of endured. One of the first stories that I remember about her is how she was in university on very last few years of the World War II, which I'm going to get to, obviously. But that was after my grandfather, after whom I've named, was warned about, you know, the predation facts, like, very late on. So in 1945, my grandma was studying in the university, and together with her course mate, they just, you know, they had to learn anatomy. So what did they do? They just, you know, used every chance they got. So, and this is one for the drinking game Einar's presented. It's gonna get really, really weird. Take that. Anyhow, those guys basically, they saw a body just floating down Daugava. So what would the normal person do? The normal person, you know, would just let him flow. But as my grandma really wanted to be a surgeon at the point, she and her best friend, they just decided, you know, well, it's a dead body. Unknown nationality, unknown whatever. So they just took him. They cut him to pieces, studied anatomy, and they buried him with full Christian honors, the best that they could, because it's still better than a body floating down the river, isn't it? It's kind of weird when you think about it, because my grandmother, she was a very faithful woman. She always believed in God and was a much more dedicated and devout Lutheran. When some people, like, came to our doorstep, and I don't want to say anything bad about, like, Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or whatever, but she was, like, really, really seriously convicted in her Lutheran beliefs. So when they wanted to discuss religion with her, she would invite them in and actually argue theology with them. The problem being is that when she found out that, you know, some tenets of theology wouldn't agree with them, and they would refuse to yield, she would pick up her crutches, because she couldn't walk straight by the time that this happened. It was, like, already in mid-2000s. She would just basically pick up her crutch and beat people up with it. You know, just use it as a stick. That is why she always also told me to be the warrior, because she was one. She wanted to be a surgeon. She was a daughter of a pastor. That was hard in the Soviet era. Then she actually, you know, managed to get into the medical university and graduate with honors. Her first job, as she told me, was to basically go to this small town, middle of nowhere. And that back then, when she was serving there, it was mid-50s. They had no cars, so in winter, she remembers being dragged around by a horse-drawn carriage. You know, with the sleds and everything. And the summer, yeah, it was a real carriage. Sometimes a motorcycle. Motorcycles were important, too, because they were way more available than the cars. And her first assignment, just, you know, after she finished... You know, in Latvia, we call it aspirantura. But, you know, she was lucky enough to study under Paul Stradinch. Paul Stradinch is the guy after which the Stradinch University in Latvia is named. He's, like, the... not only Latvian, but the Soviet doctor, like, super famous one, the best doctor Soviet Union had. And he truly was a genius. Like, you know, it's kind of hard to pinpoint important doctors, but this guy got a lot of patents for new medicines, invented new techniques of curing things, so that's what happened. And she studied right under him. After that, she taught a lot of people, so, you know, got some benefits from Blatnoye. Too, when she was still, you know, practicing. But her first assignment there was, like, in winter in Aizputa, which is, like I said, a middle of nowhere small town stuff. And then, you know, she's studying to become a surgeon, but at that point Soviet Union didn't really accept women to become surgeons, so she became a urologist. But she had to practice out as many other things as well. So on her first day of duty, my grandmother, Miriam, yeah, she was assigned to be, to accept birth, basically. So as she told me back then, she was just, you know, flipping through her college books, because back then they didn't have a lot of internet. So she just flipped through all the college books, and she just looks at all her things like, how do I make this kid be born alive? And she did it. Because of her old college books and everything, she actually managed to help a mother give birth to a healthy, nice baby. who, by the way, grew up to be a doctor himself and later on performed surgery on me in Ogre Hospital because, you know, I had a fractured skull. So it kind of, you know, comes together at the end. After she served her tenure at Ispota, at this, you know, small, like, it's called aspirantur, I suppose. After that, she was promoted to become the emergency surgeon of Soviet Latvia. But during that time still, even before that, another important event happened. It's just that, I don't know, it kind of belongs more to Astonishing Legends or Strange Matters podcasts or, you know, whatever supernatural podcasts you might get in Dark Myths Podcast Collective, because we're a part of that, and I want to promote that at every opportunity. But, you know, it's Soviet era. It's the 50s. They run out of anesthetics. But it's just a broken arm. I mean, it's painful, yes, but it's not, like, life-threatening or anything. So her lead doctor for the operation, he just decided to, you know, use hypnosis. And as much as people kind of, you know, tend to diss hypnosis these days, it actually works. At least as far as my grandmother told me so, because literally the head chief doctor of the whole Ispota establishment just hypnotized the guy to put him into trance and to make him feel no pain, make him feel asleep, and then they kind of operated on his arm, put it back together, put it in and everything, and it worked. Of course, it wouldn't have worked in more serious situations, but back then, yeah. My grandmother actually operated on someone who was under hypnosis. So, that was another one of her, kind of, more of a crazy stories. One thing that really drove it through was that she got married to her first husband back then in Ispota. They got divorced. Vilnius Andrejsons, whom I've been speaking about, whom I have my surname of, he's kind of my step-grandpa. My real grandpa I never knew. He was Andrejs Rasnais. But apparently he came from a 14-child family. He was the eldest son who inherited the farm, but managed to just drink off the farm. Anyway, with him, my grandma had a son who became my dad. But that's about it that I can tell you about that side of my family, because they have literally never cared of me. What happened next was that with a small child on her hands and, you know, just divorced, she moved to Riga, where she met my grandpa, as I call him, because literally he's been raising me up all this life, Vilnius Andrejsons, whose surname now I carry. And then, over here, my grandma became the emergency surgeon for the Soviet Union. And oh boy, this is where the gruesome part of this podcast begins, because it's kind of sad and depressing and very personal. But if you're not ready for gruesome stuff, please turn off right now. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the meantime, I do have to make another tangent here about my other grandma from mom's side. Yeah, she at that point during World War II had finished just the 7th grade, and she had to just stop her schooling at that point because of all the bombings and everything, and during the war, her dad and mom had died, and my grandma from mom's side, my Jewish grandma, mind you, from whom I can trace my Jewish heritage, she managed to avoid both Soviets and Nazis, but she had to take care of the rest of the family, which is about, like, 4 kids. So, my other grandma at the time joined the workforce under just, you know, after seventh grades, and she started to bake cakes for a Lima factory. If you've tasted any Latvian chocolate, then company Lima is the one that produces all of them, and she worked there baking chocolate cakes, and she worked there for like 30 years or more, because that was her like final workplace as well before she died. But kind of strange destiny over there. My grandma from mom's side met an electrical engineer, mind you, who, by the way, learned Japanese himself so that he can translate stolen documents of electronics from Japan, and then, you know, would translate them into Russian so that we could copy them, we meaning the Soviet Union. And grandma kind of helped him. Even though she had only a seventh grade education, she actually managed to learn Japanese, which is like, you know, crazy. But yeah, that's a small tangent here. My grandma from father's side, Miriam Andreson, yeah, she served before going to hospital service as this emergency surgeon on a Kukuruznik, even though she was a urologist by profession and, you know, by calling, because she really felt the need to cut people up, and she felt like that was her life's calling. And I remember that, you know, when I was a kid, her and her colleagues would just come over to her place, you know, where I live, by the way, now, because I live in that apartment which was given to this by the Soviets to my grandfather, which is where my grandma also lived. And and then I remember her, like, doctor colleagues coming over, and they're, like, eating their, like, cooked meat and whatever. And then they're telling these funny jokes about how, oh, well, now, and he's literally cutting his potatoes, this guy who's a visitor. I'm like, oh, wow, Miriam, and this is super tasty, but do you remember the time when I cut up this tumor and it was, like, really full with pus? That was a funny thing. My three nurses got, like, all splashes all over them, ha 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 ha, and I'm a kid. I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, "Yeah, guys, I'm trying to eat here." But the stories, they actually kind of make sense, because see, the medicine in the Soviet Union was extremely advanced. We really did have a lot of good medicine. We had a lot of talented medical workers. We didn't have a lot of budget. We didn't have a lot of good technologies. Like I said previously on the previous part, at one point, you know, they ran out of anesthetics, so they had to use hypnosis, and it worked. So that is why I vouch for hypnosis. But a lot of technologies were obsolete. A lot of technologies weren't top-notch, but they did use the best medical science has to offer. And so my grandmother told me that, you know, she was basically assigned to this kukuruzniks, as we called them, which is a small biplane which was attached to... which is attached to basically, you know, if anything happens in Latvian SSR, then she goes out and flies them. You know, flies to the place of emergency. It's like ambulance, just it's a plane. She remembered the most tragical story when a 10-year-old kid had jumped through a window of an abandoned building, because, again, economical situation in the USSR, where there had been, like, a lot of half-built buildings. They've been built from the outside with a facade and everything, but the inside was just not done. And then there's this 10-year-old kid who just jumps out of one of such buildings and just smashes, and he falls down onto the window. He just basically smashed himself through a window, but he fell down on the window. So he got a massive piece of glass stuck in his urinary tract. They saved him. My grandma literally saved him. And I haven't saved anyone in my life. I have not saved a person in my life, but... my grandmother, Miriam, used to tell me that the fact that, you know, she did it was the most proud moment of her life. Another time was when in Saldus, because she was based in Riga, in Saldus, there had been a hunt. And a person had been apparently, you know, just shooting randomly at wild boars. And this guy had shot another guy's balls off. Of course, surgery was necessary. She managed to save his life, too. Well, not his balls, though, sadly, but, you know, what can you do, really? There were also stories about her, you know, driving off to random, like, if you're in the middle of a forest and you have a leg broken, then, hey, my grandma is the one who's gonna go to you and, and patch up your leg. So I kind of believe her when she, like, told me to be the warrior and take everything seriously. After that, my grandmother moved to a regular hospital, because she was getting a bit more ill. Maybe it was because of the alcohol overdose, which she really enjoyed in her latter years, but hey, I can't blame her. Over there, weird things happened, because, as again I've mentioned in previous episodes, people who endured World War II and a lot of people, you know, morphine and drugs were illegal, so when the KGB guys come to you and ask you if you will sell them morphine, what do you do? What do you answer? She went through that stuff. Because selling drugs is illegal, but if you don't sell drugs to the KGB guy, well, what do you know? What if he needs that? What if he's just actually, you know, gonna get you into more trouble for not selling them to you than you do? So she had to make all these moral choices, but apparently, I don't know, I don't even know how, but she managed to make all the right ones. She was never caught or anything. She told me that it was her own decision to sell to some people and not sell to others. So that's what she did. She also helped a lot of people get out of the Afghanistan war in the army. Because, you know, you had to have a medical record on like, you know, you had to be clean and nice. But, you could pay a certain amount of money or, you know, give some actual meat or conserves or whatever to some doctor, which in this case was my grandmother, just get out of the army. So in a way, my grandmother really hated herself for kind of, you know, breaking the rules, because she was a very rules type of a person, but she helped a lot of people get out of the Afghanistan war. She said if there wouldn't be a war going on, then she would probably, you know, just hate herself for that, but right now she felt like breaking the rules was the way of saving people's lives. And she got a lot of presents for that either, because, you know, after successful surgeries, which she performed, and, you know, she performed a lot of those, the people just, you know, sent her chocolates and gifts, and, you know, the chocolate boxes were usually, you know, some money put into them, which she kind of didn't even notice. And I noticed that my apartment where I live now, which is where she used to live, like, I have paintings everywhere. And those paintings were also kind of part of this all this gift culture. It was weird. She had her own moral standings, too, you know. She was a devout Christian, even in the time where that was persecuted, but at one point she told me that a major party officer came to get, you know, his kidney stones removed, and he kind of had done a background check on her, and he knew that she was a devout Lutheran believer, and that she went to the church and she didn't really give, well, I'm not supposed to swear here anymore, I promise, Dave, but... she didn't particularly care about the fact that the party doesn't care about her religious beliefs and that they are persecuted. She was just a devout person, and that guy asked her, well, you know, I will be watching you if I fail. And then she responded to me, well, if I fail, then God will be watching over me in hell, so you better live on. And it's kind of crazy if you think about it. But the Soviet doctors had to make it with what they had. They had to work their best, and they had to make it with what was their due. That was how it operated. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense, because the equipment was terrible. I still have, like, all her old, like, you know, injection materials, I suppose. All her old tools, because she managed to save them up. Yeah, and when we moved in here, it was one of the craziest parts about the whole situation, because now I have medical equipment in my home from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and 70s, and I don't know, probably going to give it to the Museum of Pharmacy, because otherwise I have no use for it. If you think about it, it's a whole history on its own. But my show is all about telling you the people's history, so... The story of my grandmother is one of a devout woman who truly did her job. And this is kind of interesting, due to the fact that she was a woman, she couldn't be a proper surgeon, she had to be a urologist. Now, then again, I've also heard stories about her removing the kidney stones, which were extremely painful. And then once, you know, just before her death, as it is her anniversary of death at this moment, she remembered one study where she spoke about her little sister. you know, I had my wisdom teeth coming out at that moment. But she remembered that, hey, yeah, you know, teeth coming out is a bad process, especially if you're a kid. So she remembered her little sister, and she told me, well, yeah, you know, her teeth weren't just coming out at all. Like, it was completely light, but then they came out, they all came out at the same time, and, you know, she just basically went into shock from pain and died. In the funeral, her teeth were all like little nice pearls. And I'm sitting there being 16, and I'm like, so that's how your younger sister died. Well, that's nice. See, I don't know how doctors work, really, but the sense of humor or the sense of, you know, maybe this acceptation of death, maybe this sense that you can fail, maybe this idea that you must do your best, but you cannot ever grow too emotionally attached to your patients, maybe that's universal. And hey, if anyone's of you a doctor, please do inform me. So yeah, that was the story of my now-deceased grandmother. She died while I was working in Ludza in those times. I was really broken down back then. But one thing she told me was like, you know, after surviving all the repressions her family had to endure through Stalinist era, she really hated Russians. I mean, in the sense of, you know, xenophobia levels of, you know, Russians are bad people. Still, when Beslan tragedy happened, and if you hadn't had any idea about what happened then, you know, just look at my book readings or the bombings. It was the case when the FSB basically just FSB decided to take care of a terrorist attack, an assault, and decided to bomb the fuck out of civilians. And just, you know, due to the fact their counter-terrorist operation, like 200 children and 100 more adults died. Yeah, in Beslan, which was not fun. But yeah, my grandmother donated money to that, even though she told me that, you know, Russians are literally the devil. That because Russians tried to kill our family and whatever, she was one of those people. Still, I respect her. She was a nice person. She did her best. She saved many people. She forgave everyone, even me, for the sins that I had committed. And I have learned a lot from her. Like, really a lot. And one thing is that no matter what will happen to me, I must endure. I must continue this podcast. I must go on. Because isn't that what being a warrior means? And at the end of the day, happiness truly is mandatory. But yeah, sorry for this shortened episode at this point. Our next episode is going to be a much more fun interview with the guy who wrote the book about Soviet jokes during the Stalin era, which is going to be recorded on the 1st of July. And published somewhere about that week. But we're trying to make this podcast as best as we can. New Stalin episodes incoming. A political show is also happening soon enough. It's going to be pretty good. So, yeah. Thank you for listening. And thank you for sharing this very personal moment in this quite dark Remembrance Day for me. До свидания, товарищ.
Thank you for listening to The Eastern Border. If you have any comments or specific details you'd like to know, you're welcome to leave it in the comment section on our site, theeasternborder.lv, and we'll rummage even to the western border to find you an answer. Like this podcast? Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or on our RSS feed. Happiness is mandatory. Good reviews and donations feed the farmers of our kolkhoz in the great motherland. The Eastern Border salutes you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.